Good afternoon and welcome to the first ever audio Media Flash. We've been doing Media Flash for possibly about 5 years now, and one of our objectives for 2013 was to do an audio version. And I'm joined here today by Micheál Cleishem.
Hello.
How are you, Micheál? And by Eoin Dillon. How are you, Eoin?
How's it going?
And Eoin is studying media in the University of Limerick and has done some radio work, so we decided that while he was in here doing his internship, we would give him the horrible job of project managing this audio booth. So hopefully you like it. So a look at the stories for the last couple of weeks. The first story actually that really grabbed our interest was this story about SuperValue, Micheál, being the first Irish supermarket to have an app for shopping.
Yeah, I really like the story. SuperValue in the last few years, a couple of people were expecting them to kind of take the back seat, especially when Tesco kind of built such huge shops around the country, and Lidl and Aldi both have kind of been at the forefront of everyone's shopping. It seems to be on the tip of everyone's tongue. So SuperValue have had to come up with something different and unique, and they have in this, which is an online app for ordering your groceries straight off it. And I downloaded it today, and it's pretty cool. Like,
you you're well known in the office as a man who'd burn baked beans. You're not burn a saucepan of water. Will you gourmet shop in SuperValue? Is what I want to know.
I'm gonna try it for a week. I'll let you know how I get on next week.
Okay.
I'll order a few things. And
so you'll be lying in bed on Saturday noon, and you'll order. Let me see. I'll predict it'll be a Goodfellas pizza, a couple of cans of Coke, and a packet of chipsticks.
Yeah, well, I'll probably go with more Tato. They're more King Crisps, I find, at the gourmet. But yeah, see, I'm not sure. I think they deliver it to you as well, which is pretty cool.
You're still a student, Eoin. Do you think you'd find it useful?
Yeah, I think it screams student lifestyle, to be quite honest, because I've seen some people in Limerick, and they do get, if they're living in student accommodation, instead of walking in the absolute terrible rain that we have in this country, they prefer to get it delivered. I think it's really, really, really clever, because it's good for both the company and the customer.
I used to think one of those things when I was in college. I used to think it was amazing the things that you think are good ideas when you're in college. You'd see people selling those things to hold the plastic bags outside the supermarket because they used to hurt my soft student hands. Do you still do that?
No.
How far we've come with apps, isn't it? Yeah.
The trolley goes to the car now, you see.
Students have cars, yeah. Back in 1993, we didn't have cars, you know.
What'll really make this is a kind of a sister app as well. That's a recipe app that goes with it.
Okay.
So, I mean, we've all seen the success of Jamie Oliver's 20-minute apps, and we were even lucky enough to have Ian Wharton at our Media Future conference last year talking about that, and it's just fantastic. So if they could marry the shopping app with the recipe app, I think they're onto an absolute winner.
Crisp sandwich, maybe.
Crisp sandwich, yeah. see what kind of Philadelphia cheese they could tell me to put in my crisp sandwich.
So the next story that grabbed our... Actually, thanks to our friends at thejournal.ie for bringing the SuperValue story to our attention. The next story, Eoin, that I found really interesting in the last couple of weeks was a piece that you put on our blog about the fine print of social media. And it's quite alarming, really, because... You know, my wife has always given out to me that I overshare, and that, you know, the intellectual property of your life has been taken over by social networks. What are the sort of things that people should look out for?
I don't. First of all, I just think it's a really contentious issue if people took more notice of it. People do overshare an awful lot. I mean, you can't do anything but somebody knows about it. It's kind of, you're in danger of ruining their conversation, which is the youth. You can utilize it on the social media itself.
Give us an example of some of the, like what alarmed me was when I looked at the stuff that you unearthed, like the actual policies about what they Eoin when you put it on your own personal pages.
Yeah, well, first off, Facebook's license entitles it to transfer, sub-license and use members' content for their own use as well as other organizations. This is something that Twitter and LinkedIn have also taken on board.
So basically, that your information is their information. And they can repackage it whatever way they like.
Exactly.
I've heard that story as well of when you know, people have seen their girlfriends, their profile pictures popping up in, you know, young girls in your area that you might like.
Yeah,
I'm sure it'd be interesting that way.
It's
I don't want anyone else interested here.
It just kind of gives me personally a sense of it's a little bit underhanded, and it kind of gives you a sense of monopolization of your online self. Is it just market research? I would have my doubts about it.
We can look into this all we want, though, but the bottom line is you have to be really careful about what you put online in the first place. I mean, like...
And isn't this one of the reasons that Instagram kind of hit a massive iceberg, or it remains to be seen whether it did, but yeah. ran into huge problems in the last kind of couple of weeks because people took to sharing the kind of most intimate details of their families on Instagram, and then what happened?
What really made Instagram really good is that it was the photographer's social media. And so everybody gives out about Instagram being just like pictures of food and pictures of that, but it also had really high-end content. And the beauty of it was that you could put your high-end content in there, safe in the knowledge that people weren't going to rob it and it wasn't going to appear in an ad. But that's not the case anymore. And there's a chance that your pride and joy and the photos you spent hours taking and editing could end up being used somewhere else. So that's what created a lot of... controversy with Instagram in the last while. But it's safe to say, like, for personal use anyway, don't put anything on Facebook that you wouldn't want all over the internet. That has to be the bottom line. You can look through all these terms and conditions all you want, but just assume that anything, any picture you put up could be on any site in the world.
Okay.
So that's kind of where, yeah.
So one of the interesting topics that we're going to look at, we launched our training schedule for the spring this week. You posted a story which is quite close to my heart on the blog about ways to perfect your LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, well, we took we basically highlighted two things that we find most important on your LinkedIn profile. These are your photo and the language used. I think the photo that you use. Basically, an image says a lot. Pictures.
The photo thing is extraordinary in that one of the slides on the course, I did a lot of extensive research on the terrible photos, and there's this classic LinkedIn photo called the body shot, where the only good photo you can find is one with your arm basically around your best friend, and no matter how keen your cropping skills are, your head will be side faced with somebody else, generally in a pub, so it's not good. I've seen people with body shots with Endkenny. With Dustin, I've seen somebody put a bunch of grapes instead of their face. Somebody put their hand in a puppet, and I suppose on LinkedIn too, it's your professional social network.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. I mean, a picture does say a lot about you, and it can tell the people who's connecting with you through the site whether you're professional, unprofessional, and also your image shows a bit of personality. And if there's no personality there, you're boring. And you know, it's. I'd definitely avoid. Use of personal photos and something like that. If you are going for the
I think the key to it is warm and professional is what. So you know, it doesn't need to be stilted in a suit, but it can be warm and professional. What about the language then? So that was the second one about the language that you use in the profile.
Basically, just based on grammar, spelling, and vocab. I mean, on a heavily text-based site, you know, it needs to be correct. First off, I personally hate reading and spotting mistakes. It damages the credibility of what you're trying to say, and it's annoying because it's difficult to read. And secondly, it suggests laziness. Like, okay. If you're not going to take the time, just don't bother.
I was just going to say, like, you wouldn't send your CV into a job app application without having your friend look over it. Your LinkedIn profile is so much more shareable than your CV is. You should have someone else look over your CV. Get your friend to do that, or your colleague to do look over your LinkedIn profile and do a grammar check on it. It's a lot easier than sending them a CV.
So if you want to hear more about this, February the 12th we'll be having, and you can get the details on the website, but February the 12th I'll be giving a half-day course called How to Perfect Your Profile on LinkedIn. What other stuff is coming up, Michal, that's of interest or that caught you?
Yeah, we've got a few things coming up in the next few weeks. The first thing that's coming up on January 22nd is how to become an expert media performer.
That was a course I devised in the last 4 months, and I took all of the stuff that I knew over 10 years about how to perform on camera and on radio interviews and broke it down into 6 workshops. The best thing I can say about it is it's good fun. It involves Lego, it involves role play, and it involves an on-camera interview at the very end. And it's a good day to brush up on your interview skills.
Yeah, it's about building confidence as well, I'm sure. The next one we have is on the 29th of January of this month as well, which is our social media strategy. And this is basically, it's how to build a social media strategy. And this starts from building it from the ground up, developing your content, talking about what different platforms, going through the do's and most importantly the don'ts of what you do when you're developing your social media strategy. And that's going to be a half-day course or full-day course?
That's a full-day course. And actually, lastly, on the 25th of February, and this is something that I struggle with hugely anyway, a full-day course on how to use Facebook to grow your business. It's not kind of widely spoken about, but Facebook's quite difficult, isn't it?
I find, well, personally, and from people I've spoken to about this, Facebook seems to be the most effective yet hardest to nail down when you're trying to do a social media strategy. So we've got Katie Moffat coming over from the UK, who's fantastic at this. And what she's going to do is she's going to talk through how to build an effective page. Now, the public page on Facebook has changed quite a bit over the last few years, and they seem to change their policies on what you are and aren't allowed to do. But it seems that they seem to be stuck on this now at the minute, the format they have. So Katie's going to come over. She's going to talk about competitions, like I said before, the do's and especially the don'ts of running competitions, how to use apps and improving your edge rank as well. So
what's your view on the whole Facebook thing on?
I think once you get it right, you're sorted, but getting there can be really, really difficult. Personal experience working with another company, just a small coffee shop, just trying to get it up and going, their social media thing, they struggled with Facebook a lot.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's interesting with it is that it's kind of been proven now over a couple of years that emotional content works best. People share in small groups, and there's some great companies. HubSpot is one that we have good admiration for, and graphics work really well. Infographics work well, and pictures work well, and I think anything that has good imagery attached with it is eminently more shareable.
And Facebook is so interactive as well. Whatever you put up, you're expecting people to talk about it and like it and share it as well. So it's really effective because it's like you said, it's closed networks as opposed to Twitter. Twitter is like the playground. Facebook is like the classroom. But in the classroom, everybody is you have your target audience, and everyone wants to hear what you want to say. So.
Great. That's the 25th of February, How to Use Facebook to Grow Your Business. And that brings our first audio media flash to a close. Thanks, Micheál.
Thank you.
Thank you, Owen.
Thanks, Micheál.
And hopefully we'll be back to you about once every couple of weeks to keep you up to date. And we'll be sending out the media flash tomorrow by email. And we'll talk to you on our next broadcast.